All right, welcome everyone to the final Roll Mama Roll podcast preview. We saved, I don't know if we can say we saved the best for last, but we have saved Auburn for last. And with us to talk about the Tigers is Mr. Jerry Hinnan of the Joe Cribbs Car Wash, which you can find at www.warblogeagle.com. Jerry's good enough to join us from his vacation on the Upper Peninsula, so we'll try and help him along and not keep him too long. Let's go ahead and get started. Jerry, tell us a little bit about the quarterback system down there in Auburn. Tony Franklin, known as a spread offense guy. You've got Cody Burns, who's mobile, and Chris Todd, who is a pocket passer type. Is this going to be a true two-quarterback system, or do you expect one of them to really lock down the start here in the first few weeks?
The noise that Tuberville's been making over, basically I think ever since it became clear that this was going to be, for lack of a better term, a quarterback controversy, where, you've got two guys, both of which want to start, but that's what it is. It's a QB controversy. Tuberville, I think, has said repeatedly that he wants one guy to be the guy, and I think when you look at, the history of, the QB position in the SEC over the past few years, even the two QB rotations, Green and Shockley, Leak and Tebow, these sorts of things. Basically you've got a guy who's definitely the 1A guy, even if the second guy is 1B. What I expect we'll see is that, both of them will get a lot of time against Monroe, this coming Saturday, and then they'll kind of name one guy, sort of the 1A guy, and then we'll go from there. And I think what we're probably going to see is Cody Burns get the start on Saturday. Just, I think, his sort of physical gift that he's got with the ability, as you point out, just in terms of mobility and then athleticism out of the pocket, I just think he's got that hands down over Todd. I think his advantage there over Chris Todd is a little bit greater probably than Chris Todd's ability to throw the ball over Burns. And I think that's what's eventually going to lead Burns to have, the edge over the course of the season.
All right, well, give us a little bit about your expectations for the Tony Franklin offense. He's going towards a more wide-open spread than the Al Borges, I think it was dubbed the Gulf Coast offense at one point, but really kind of stagnated there the past few seasons. What are your big expectations for this new offense?
I think Auburn's going to move the ball definitely between the 20s a lot more efficiently than they did the past couple of seasons. Part of that, I think, is going to be Franklin's offense. I think the fact that it is going to bring a lot of innovation, it's going to be something that, defensive coordinators in the league have seen but don't necessarily have a lot of experience as of yet with dealing with it. Really at this point, the only other offenses that are similar in the league right now are Florida's, which, there hasn't been a whole lot of stopping Florida over the past couple of years, particularly once, Tebow's gotten on the field. And then, a little bit of it, Kentucky, a little bit else, kind of here and there. But I think that innovation is going to help definitely, kind of pilot the yardage. The big question is going to be what the offense does in the red zone. It simply is not the sort of offense that's really built to line up and smash you in your face when, you're on the 7-yard line. It puts 3-4 wide outs on the field, and, it's just not the kind of power eye sort of thing that Auburn fans certainly are used to seeing. So I think there's a legitimate question about how it's going to do in the red zone. I think, to me, that's the real key issue about it is, is it going to be able to put, the ball in the end zone as opposed to lining up Wes Byram for a 35-yard field goal time after time after time. That to me is really the big question. But I do think we're going to see Auburn possess the ball for much more than they did last year. Again, really move the ball across the middle of the field a lot more consistently. And frankly, I think it helps that, we're going to have much more of a marriage between the quarterback personnel and the system that Auburn's going to be running this year with Franklin, Spread Eagle, and Burns and Todd, whichever one ends up kind of winning the lion's share of the plays, then versus, what Al Borges wanted, the 2006 and 2007 version of Brandon Cox, just didn't really seem to be a good fit for what Borges wanted to do. So I think that's going to be a big improvement as well.
All right, you talked about lining up and smashing your mouth with power football. Ben Tate, Brad Lester, and Mario Fannin all return, all three good. I just call them power backs. Ben Tate had 903 yards, 8 touchdowns last year. Lester with 530 and 3, and Fannin with 448 yards with 5 touchdowns. So these are all guys that have been good bruising backs. How significant a role are the running backs going to play in this spread offense?
Well, I think it's an excellent question. Fannin, in particular, I think, you know, has been already moved out to wide out. You know, supposedly he's going to line up in the slot. Now, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up lining up in the backfield from time to time as well. But anyways, they're saying because of his shoulder injury and because the offense can spread him out and still get the ball in his hands pretty reliably that, you know, they're going to line him up in the slot. Anyway, so I expect him to actually have a really, really good season out there if they can get the ball to him enough. And frankly, that's something I'm a little bit concerned about because I think Fannin may be the most purely talented of the three. So I would love to see him get, you know, plenty of touches, assuming that he fixed the fumbling problem he had at the beginning of last season. As for Tate and Lester, Tate's definitely the guy, I think, who you'll see get the ball most often in short yardage situations. You know, kind of the book on him is that he's a straight-ahead, you know, power runner. And I think that sells him a little bit short. He's got a decent burst of speed, I would say. And J.G. Tate over at the Montgomery Advertiser is always saying about what great hands, you know, Ben Tate has, which is, you know, frankly, we've never seen, but I kind of take him at his word at it. But Lester really is a guy I think who's going to have to be the difference maker for Auburn this year. If there's, you know, an all SEC caliber back out of those three, it's Lester. He's a guy who really has both some of, you know, Tate's power, you know, a little bit of Fannin's agility, and is definitely more of a slasher, hits the hole harder than either one of them. And, you know, again, if we're looking at, you know, kind of a 1,000-yard rusher out of this offense, you know, I think Lester is definitely the guy who has the ability to make the most out of the holes that, you know, frankly, what should be a really, really good offensive line you know, should be able to create some holes for him. And I think opposing defenses with them spread out across the field, or at least that's the theory, there should be a little bit more room to run there between the tackles. And, I think Lester's really the guy's best poised to break out this year. And I really think he's going to have an all-SEC kind of season.
All right, well, let's talk about the wide receivers a little bit. One of the biggest, or maybe not biggest, but most common knocks on the transition to the spread offense is that Auburn just doesn't have the receivers to run it. I know Tuberville has made several comments that bringing in this new type of offense will help them in recruiting those top-notch receivers, which they haven't been able to do with the old offense. So you got three starters coming back: Zachary Smith, Billings. I know Robert Dunn played a fairly significant role in the offense as well. Is that a legitimate knock, or are these receivers fully capable of living up to any kind of hype they may have had coming out of high school and really being able to contribute in this kind of wide-open offense?
Well, I think a good thing about the Tony Franklin system, as you know we currently understand it, is that it doesn't necessarily need guys who are 6'5 and fly down the field, or, you know, like a certain freshman receiver for Alabama who can jump and be seen out the window of a plane. It's the kind of offense that's going to make the most out of the, you know, guys that are there. You know, guys like Robert Dunn in particular, you look at him, he's not somebody who has breakaway speed down the sideline, you know, not Randy Moss kind of height or, you know, deep ball threat necessarily. He's a guy who's just kind of quick and agile. And he's even had some problems with his hands as well, you know, as we saw last year. But you get the ball to him in a little bit of space, he's going to be able to make things happen. You know, a very powerful guy for a wideout. So, you know, I can definitely see, you know, a hitch to, you know, the sort of player like Robert Dunn is. You know, let him get out there, you know, and I think he can pick you up 5 or 6 yards a pop. So the talent level isn't necessarily something I'm worried about. You know, the issue, I think, with this system is just who is going to step up and catch the ball. Auburn had a lot of problems with drops last year. And Dunn, in fact, has, you know, responded to this gift of a system that I think perfectly suits his talents by landing in Tuberville's doghouse, he announced today. And Dunn is now fourth on one of the four wide receiving spots on the new depth chart. So he's, you know, currently ranked at about number 15 or number 16, I guess, which I think will change when Auburn's not playing Louisiana Monroe and Tuberville doesn't have to send a message. But at this point, it's a case almost of Auburn throwing bodies at the problem. Rod Smith is a great possession receiver. He actually is probably Auburn's best deep threat simply because you can throw a jump ball to him, and he, you know, has the skills to go up and get it. You know, past that, and then I think you are going to see Dunn eventually come on, hopefully, a couple weeks in the season. I've got, personally, very high hopes for him in this offense. But, you know, past those two guys, you're looking at, you know, really a bit of a crapshoot. Again, Mario Fannin, I think, you know, should be able to do a lot out there. But if you don't count him, then you're looking at James Swinton, who's been named a starter, supposedly has speed to burn, but we've heard about him the last couple of years, and he hasn't done a thing. Chris Slaughter, Kim Hawthorne, Montez Billings, Quindarius Carr. There's a freshman jitterbug named Philip Pierre-Louis, who has gotten a lot of raves during the freshman fall camp. You know, so, you know, any one of those guys could end up emerging. It's kind of, I feel like if we have any Republican voters in the offense, they should probably take offense to this sort of approach, because like the Democrats who want to might throw money at a problem, Auburn is throwing bodies at the wide receiver problem. There's, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys who are all kind of in the mix. And I think the idea is that one or two of them, you know, are going to emerge to really help out Smith and Dunn. And that's kind of what I expect to happen. I really think somebody's going to come out of all of that and, you know, really show it off. At this point, I would bet on Tim Hawthorne kind of showing up. He does have, you know, he was a big recruit, actually, you know, despite the fact that, you know, Borges was still around at that point. And, you know, you're right, Tuberville said multiple times he couldn't recruit wideouts. Well, he recruited, you know, the 6'3", 200-pound guy out of Homewood who was drawing raves, and he just hasn't really done it up to this point. I'm hopeful that this is the year that he kind of puts it together.
All right, well, let's move over to the defense. Very solid unit. Looks like about 7 returning starters, maybe more, actually. Who is being lost on the defensive line, and who's going to be replacing him?
All right, well, anyways, the first, you know, the big loss, at least on paper, sort of, is Quentin Groves, who got drafted, you know, there in the second round, and who I think finished tied for Auburn's all-time sack record. So, you know, that's a big loss. Anyways, Pat Sims, the starting defensive tackle, also left a year early, you know, as a junior for the NFL draft. So those are two major talents that are gone. The good news for Auburn is that, particularly under Tuberville, they've never been lacking, you know, for defensive talent, you know, anywhere in the front seven. And I think that's the case this year. On the outside, Antonio Coleman's going to be out there. Had a huge year last year. Is already getting some preseason All-SEC talk, and I think he'll probably fulfill that. He, you know, looked explosive, you know, last season. It really looked like kind of the heir apparent to the Grove, Stanley, McClover, you know, defensive end throne, so to speak. On the other side, you're looking at, right now, the starter is listed as Michael Goggins, who's a guy who saw some playing time as a freshman last year. Has a lot of potential, and I think anyways, he'll probably get the call in running downs. Auburn also has a very talented pass rusher named Antoine Carter, who really racked up the tackles for loss and the sacks last year in fairly limited action. So I think you'll see plenty of those two guys, both on the other side. And Carter in particular, I think, is, you know, poised also for a big year. I think he's you know, really, really good at getting into the backfield. So that's another name to watch out for. In the middle, Derek Marks is sort of the obvious guy, you know, just a huge monster of a guy in the very middle of that line. And, you know, really a big key for Auburn, both in stopping the run and for getting some pass rush on the downs. The other defensive tackle position is going to be a little bit of a question mark. Going in, none of the guys necessarily have, you know, the names that the defensive ends or Marks has. But, you know, right now Mike Blank is listed as the starter in the depth chart that came out today. But that's probably going to be a rotation spot. You're going to see a lot of guys fill in there. Blank, 6th-year senior, Tez Doolittle, has a lot of experience and is very big. Jake Ricks also, I believe, is a 300-pounder. You know, could definitely eat a lot of space in there. You know, even Zach Clayton is another guy, I believe, is a sophomore who has gotten a lot of notice here in the fall. So, you know, any one of those guys, you know, could end up playing a big role. And Tuberville's shown that I think he can find guys that are going to be able to step up and fill in there. I don't really see any problems there along the defensive line.
All right, now let's talk a little bit about the defensive backs. I know Aaron Savage had been, I don't know if he was penciled in or not, but there's a lot of talk that he was going to be starting at cornerback. Now that he's lost for injury, is that kind of a spot where if he's a question mark there, or is there somebody else that can fill in that role and not really lose a lot of production?
We can talk about the defensive backs if we have to. I'd rather not. It's far and away the thinnest position on the defense and probably on the entire team. If you were ranking, you know, Auburn's unit, it would be at the bottom and it wouldn't even be close. We've got one very experienced, very good corner in Gerard Powers. At the other corner was almost certainly going to be Aaron Savage until he tore his ACL. He's going to be replaced by Walt McFadden, a guy who's gotten, you know, a decent amount of playing time, is probably going to be solid. You know, he's sort of in the position Pat Lee was in going into last year, and he ended up being an NFL draft choice, having a fantastic season. So I'm not too worried about McFadden. You know, I think he's definitely got the potential to, you know, be a solid, steady guy out there. But past that, the next two guys on the depth chart are both true freshmen. Nico Thorpe and DeAntoine Hood, and they've basically drawn raves from Auburn's coaching staff during the fall, but they are true freshmen, just arrived, and, you know, they're not the kind of Louisiana five-star, you know, prospects where everybody would expect them to just walk in and take over, like the starting nickelback spot, basically. You know, they're three-star solid guys that Tubby, you know, does find, and, you know, that have a lot of potential. And Hood, in particular, I think, impressed Auburn's coaches when he lined up against Julio Jones at, you know, one of these combines, all-star game kind of things. So, you know, I think these are definitely going to be very solid contributors at some point. Now the question is, you know, they're going to be called on this season. You know, a nickelback at this point is almost a starter. He's on the field so much, you know, whenever – the opponent goes to three wide, which happens a lot, you know, even in the SEC these days. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen, you know, particularly against a team like LSU, who's going to throw Bird, LaFell, all those guys at us. I'm already deeply, deeply worried about that particular matchup. And if anything happens to Powers or McFadden, it's going to be frightening, very, very frightening.
Let's talk about the defensive coordinator. The last two, Gene Chizik and Will Muschamp, have been stolen away by Mack Brown to Texas. New DC is Paul Rhodes, formerly of Pitt. What can you tell us about him and what kind of defense he's going to be running?
Well, I think you're not going to see schematically a whole lot of changes on that side of the ball. Tuberville said in the offense in response to Muschamp's leaving, you know, basically it's his defense, and it always has been since he's been there. They've run the 4-3, you know, nothing too terribly fancy, nothing too exotic. You know, they're going to line up there, four guys, and, you know, across the defensive line, they're going to line up their three linebackers, and they're basically going to try to outquick you and, you know, have some size there in the middle of the defensive line, and it's going to stay that way. I think what Rhodes is going to bring, you know, first of all, is I just think some coaching acumen, you know, which is the same sort of thing that Chizik brought, same sort of thing that Muschamp brought. You know, I think he's going to be a good coach on the practice field. I think he's going to be probably, again, you know, like Muschamp was, just a good, solid leader for the defense. But in terms of, you know, kind of the scheme, I'm not really expecting to see a big change. That's been, you know, Tuberville came up on the defensive side of the ball, and, you know, for all of the talk about him being a CEO and being hands-off, which to some extent he certainly is, I think that definitely applies more to the offensive side. I think he's going to be in there, as always, helping construct, you know, the defense from the top to the bottom. And So I think in that sense, you're not going to see a big change with Rhodes coming in. One of the things I do think that Rhodes is going to bring as well is a knowledge of West Virginia. Frankly, you know, I think it may not be a coincidence that the year that Auburn is going to travel to West Virginia, and that being, at least ranking-wise, on paper, the most difficult road game of the year, so he's brought in the coordinator that held them to, you know, such miserable offensive output, you know, in that big upset at the end of last year. And Rhodes has also done a lot of good things at Pitt. They were in the top 10 in overall defense last year, and I believe two or three seasons ago had another top 10 finish. So the guy knows what he's doing, and between him and Tubby, I think your Auburn defense is basically just going to continue to do what it's been doing.
All right, well, let's talk about the schedule for a minute since you brought up West Virginia. It looks like Auburn, never want to say that an SEC slate is easy, but it looks like they've got a fairly decent road to hoe here. Start out with Louisiana Monroe and Southern Miss, travel to Mississippi State, then get LSU at home, and you know, it's at home this year, so you, in that fluky sort of back and forth in that series, it looks like Auburn's turned to win. Tennessee's at home, Arkansas's at home, and Georgia's at home, while the big road games are Mississippi State, Vandy, West Virginia, Ole Miss, and Alabama. Where do you see Auburn stumbling, or do you see him stumbling at all?
Well, I'm definitely not going to predict a repeat of 2004, that's for sure. I agree. It's a pretty cushy schedule. When your toughest, you know, road game is outside of the conference, you know, that's definitely a plus. Again, toughest on paper. I'm not ready to say that the trip to Tuscaloosa is going to be any easier than the one to Morgantown. But, yeah, it definitely could be worse. I think you look at hosting LSU and hosting Georgia, those are going to be two really, really tough games. I think Auburn's probably going to split those. You know, if we go 1-1 in those, I don't think we'll have a whole lot of room to complain. Preferably, if we had to pick one, obviously we'd take LSU. You know, hopefully find a way to get to Atlanta. The games that worry me right now, that Tennessee game falling directly after the LSU game, if the kind of home, you know, split continues with Auburn and LSU and we manage to knock off the Tigers, which I'm not saying will happen, but if it does, and if Tennessee sort of as expected loses Florida that week, you know, Auburn's going to be a pretty heavy favorite that coming week. And that's when, you know, frankly, Tubby's teams have always been at their weakest, is coming in as a heavy favorite at home against, you know, a lightly regarded team that has some talent, as Tennessee does. And then Ole Miss and Alabama both, you know, really worry me. Both of those teams have a lot of talent, good coaching now that Nutt's down at Ole Miss. You know, the Rebels in particular, their offense, I think, has a lot of potential with their offensive line, Enrique Davis, Devin Snead, and like a pretty good core of wideouts. And then Alabama's obviously Alabama. But either one of those games could very easily be dropped. And, you know, in Tuberville's tenure, Auburn has tended to drop, you know, at least one or two of those games a season. So, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about those. In the end, it's the sort of schedule where I think Auburn probably should, on paper, be the favorite in the SEC West just because it's an easier slate than LSU's. But we'll see. It's really going to come down to that game against LSU. And, you know, I'm already looking for my four-leaf clovers and seeing if there are any horseshoes up here in the UP I could take home and nail above our door. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I guess that pretty much covers it all, Jerry. Thanks for joining us, talking about the Auburn Tigers, giving us a little preview.
Hey, Todd, my pleasure, and, you know, certainly wish the best of luck to the guys there at Roll Bama Roll, and to a certain extent to the Tide as well, I guess. You know, it's just a nice thing to do, but to a certain extent.
Except for 1 week, we'll say that. All right, thanks for joining us, and
yeah.
We'll get back with you again during the regular season.